Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with.
Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a marksman, and I love film. As Henry Frederick Ariel once said, we only understand that which is already within us. Like, instinctively, I understand that High Life is a masterpiece, but neither I nor Claire Denis can fully explain it to you. That's quite right, Henry Frederick. I know that feeling. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Kevin Smith, Jamila Jamil, and even Ked Prambles. But this week, it's the brilliant comedian, Loyisa Gola. Get over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 15 minutes of chat with Loyisa, where we talk about beginnings and endings, talk about the film that changed his perspective on something. You get a secret, you get the whole episode uncut and as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Ted Lasso season 2 has only 2 episodes left, so get caught up on all the eps on Apple TV Plus. Sorry, I said eps, you know what I mean? I'm in the biz, that's how we do. Ain't got time to say episodes, have we? And also check out Soulmates on Amazon Prime. One will make you happy, the other will make you thinky. So Loyisa Gola is a superstar comedian from South Africa. He had his own late night show for 6 years. He's now working mostly in the UK. We'd never met before. We recorded this on Zoom the other day. It was great. You're going to love it. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 166 of Films to be Buried With.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I'm joined today by an international superstar, a writer, a performer, a stand-up, an award winner, a late-night showman, a award-winning traveller of the world and performer in every venue you've ever seen, a hero to people in all the continents. Please welcome to the show the brilliant Loyisa Gola!
Yay, man. That's a great intro.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm good. I hope I can match your energy.
So far, so good, man. So far, so good. Now, I am currently in America recording this, and you are currently in the London.
London, yeah. The London, cool. That's one way to look at it. I'm in the London.
Tell me about your you've been there a while now, right?
I've been here 4 months now, but I mean, I've been here maybe 5 years now. I've lived here for like on and off 5 years, but now I've kind of moved permanently. Also because it's probably the most open place I can stay in terms of like everything is open. And then also it's very difficult to move around the world right now. So you just got to stay put.
You got to pick a place and stick. Are you there? Are you doing just stand up there or are you doing other things?
Doing stand up and other things. I eat as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Have sandwiches, have coffee. So by other things, if that's what you mean, that's what I do.
Yeah, I guess so. How's the stand-up going out in London?
It's cool. I mean, stand-up is great.
Audiences back to normal in London?
Everything is back to normal in London. I was in a football game, 55,000 people, no mask in sight.
Really? What was the game?
Arsenal, Tottenham.
Okay, we're never talking about that. So, it's lovely to have you here. Do you like films?
No, I'm not like a film person.
then you've come to the right podcast.
Because I watch films, but I don't necessarily have an academic understanding of them.
That's okay.
Like, I don't know. I just go, that's a good film. That was a bad film. Or I enjoyed that. I didn't enjoy that. I don't have I wouldn't be able to write the thesis about the movie.
Okay. Well, you were sent some homework, and one of the things on the homework was to send me 3 theses, and I haven't received any of them. I don't know if that's going to be a problem. I'm only messing with you.
I do. I interact with movies. I'm just not a movie buff, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's okay. That's very good.
Yeah.
Tell me about your late night show that you had in South Africa. How long was that on?
We were on for 6 years.
Fuck. Like The Daily Show or something like that.
But yeah, it was like that. But we did South African politics, and we went on. I mean, we didn't get canned or anything. I just quit. I was like, I'm tired of doing this. And I couldn't travel as much as I would. And we had gotten 2 Emmy nominations. It was great, man. We were cool. We were like in a great groove in a zone.
Yeah.
And I just made the decision to get out of there.
6 years, a long time. How many, was it every night of the week?
No, once a week.
Once a week. Okay. How many a season?
We would do 14 weeks. We did about 150 episodes, I think.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot. I mean, if you love that kind of stuff, it's great. But if you just want to get on stage and perform, it takes up a lot of your time.
Yeah, for sure.
To do that kind of thing.
Do you ever miss it? Or are you glad it's all done?
I'm so glad it's done. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad it's done. I really, not in a bad way. It's like, I like the fact that I can exit stuff. You know, that's why I don't think kids are for me, because you can't exit kids.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. That there's not many ways of getting out of kids. I suppose you could give them up for adoption at any point. I suppose that's the only card you've got.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like it's quite.
You gave your child up for adoption.
That would be a very bizarre thing to explain to. Mm. To other humans.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you. I didn't know this, and this was on your Wikipedia page, so maybe it is not true. But your brother also does stand-up, is that correct?
Yeah, he does.
How is that between you two? Are you at all, do you gig together? Are you competitive with each other? Is it interesting?
We have 2 different styles. My brother's more of a director. My brother does a lot of things. He directs commercials. He's in the advertising world. He writes for shows. He does way more than me.
Okay.
He's very multi. So, I mean, we don't really even compete about stuff. We don't compete at all.
Have you ever done shows together?
Of course. Yeah.
And it's not, you're never like, I got more laughs than you tonight?
No.
Good.
No, not at all. We don't. No.
Well, it sounds like you got a very healthy relationship.
Yeah. We do. We really
That's
do.
That's good.
We're cool. Me and him are in a very good place.
That's very nice to hear. Loiso, I've forgotten to tell you something. And I probably should have told you, maybe even before we met, I could have texted you. Or I feel like an idiot, but we're recording now. Yeah, I'll just say it and then we'll deal with it, I guess. But I'm sorry, but here we go. You've died. You're dead.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. How did you die?
I was in the subway and someone just pushed me.
Pushed you into the path of an oncoming train?
Yeah.
On the London Underground?
Yeah.
Was it a fan? Who was this?
It was just a drunk human.
Really? It wasn't targeted, random.
It was extremely random.
Wow. Jesus.
No.
I mean, literally no one's died that way on this show. That's quite
it was seemingly gruesome, but
yeah,
it was not as painful as people would anticipate.
Like it was for you, it was pretty instant.
Yeah, it was pretty instant.
Hit the ground and then got run over, or the train hit you as you were falling?
It was pretty simultaneous. It was just
right.
It was like grand falling train before combat. I even hit the ground.
Right. Do you worry about death?
No, not entirely. I think about it. I think about what would people say in my obituary? Like, what would people say at my funeral? What would they say? Like, what would they, like whether they're lying or being truthful, what would they think of me? How would they remember me as a human being?
Can you take a guess and do your eulogy for me now?
No, I don't do it like that. I think about it like, you know, I'm interested. The only thing I wish I could hear how other humans consumed me.
Right.
Like, I don't imagine it. I wonder about, oh man, how, which is essentially just probably asking myself, how am I living my life?
Hmm.
More than sort of thinking about like how, well, what the speech would be. I'd be like, oh man, would people think that I'm living a full life? Would they think I'm lazy? Would they think I'm inconsiderate? You know, that kind of stuff. I haven't formulated into a speech in my head yet. That's what I'm
If we're taking stock of it today, what do you think they'd think in terms of, are you living your fullest life?
I don't know. I mean,
what do you think?
It doesn't matter what I think is what I'm saying. I'm saying that, remember, you don't get when someone is talking on your behalf and you're dead, the point is that you can't represent yourself. So it doesn't, some people think they were helping out and then people are like, that person was a dick or whatever the situation is. And so like, what's extremely interesting to me is that whatever effort and whatever you're trying to do might not yield the final result that you actually want. And sometimes you got to be at peace with that.
Mm.
So for me, I'm less obsessed with whether I'm living life full or not, because it doesn't matter what direction I'm going. And at the end of the day, it's how the world received me, because all the stuff I'm doing for the world, in the world, around other people, and how are they viewing that?
Mm. What do you believe in an afterlife? What do you think happens when you die?
I don't even think that's important. I find that's not so important. I think if it is, it is. There's no real evidence there. There is tangible evidence. And by definition, the term belief means that something that can't be proven, but you hang on to a hope that it does exist.
Mm-hmm.
So as Africans, well, specifically Southern Africans, we do believe in an afterlife. And we have rituals and prayers and things that insinuate there's an afterlife. But that, you know, there's no real scientific evidence that could be used in a modern context that proves that. Do I believe it? Yes. And do I adhere to that? Yes. But does that got to do with my belief or just a sense of identity? It could be just a sense of identity. So those are the things I tend to like grapple with.
Can you tell me what the image is of the afterlife?
Of the afterlife?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never thought of it. Never thought of the afterlife. I really haven't. I mean, never thought of it. Absolutely never thought of it.
Can you think of it now?
I'm not a spontaneous human in that sense. I think, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's the afterlife look like? Am I ruining your podcast?
For me to say.
You see what I'm... Yeah, so because I'm like, I don't know if... What does the afterlife look like? Oh my God. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm just blocking my brain from thinking about it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I can tell you. The thing is, we can shortcut this and I can tell you, because there is a heaven and what it looks like is, what's your favorite thing?
It's probably watching a football game.
Right. It's a football stadium. It's fucking Wembley. It's this beautiful football stadium and all your friends are there and all the people that love you and all your favourite footballers, they're all there. Everyone's hanging out. It's very chilled, but it's cool. There's football if you want. And also everyone there, they're very excited to see you, but they want to talk to you about your life through film. As much as they love football, they also love film. And they've heard what a massive film buff you are and they've read all your theses that you wrote before you died on film and they want to get into it with you. And the first thing they ask is, what is the first film you remember seeing?
The crazy thing about the way I've consumed film is that I really only really started speaking English properly from probably the age of 9, 10.
Okay.
So only the movies that we really enjoyed and my first sort of bunch of movies we watched were kung fu movies.
Oh yeah?
When I was young, we only just watched kung fu movies. It was a Saturday, you pay a certain amount of money and then you watch kung fu movies, and it was, you know.
At the cinema, this was?
at the cinema. Like, so it would be like a hall, and then they would have a projector. It would project these films, and it, you know, cool. every Saturday would be cool. And so that's my first memory of like film and just going out and watching something. And then when I was like slightly older, I enjoyed going to the cinema. Hmm. I remember like me and my friends going to watch James Bond. I think it was Golden Eye.
Oh, yeah.
Golden. That yeah. Sense. That was in, that came out 96 or something. 96, 97, I think. I think so. Or even earlier, like 95. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember us being excited to see that and going to Golden Acre Cinema, and it was amazing.
Oh, nice. Did you want to do Kung Fu? Did you come out of these Kung Fu films? Doing
oh,
Kung
yeah.
Fu?
You, as soon as I got out of there, we would just imitate those things and make a sound effect. And it was the thing about films is that if they're in English and you don't speak English, it doesn't make sense. And yeah. So with Kung Fu movies, it was great because there was no language. It was, even if you were like an English speaker, the most exciting thing about the Kung Fu movies is the actual fighting.
Yes.
So imagine now you don't have any idea what they're saying. And then all you're excited about is the fighting. And then you're like, oh, this is amazing. And they just keep fighting all the time. It's amazing. It was just, for me, it was just the most amazing thing.
That's cool. Do you have a favorite Kung Fu movie?
I remember watching Enter the Dragon. Enter the Dragon was a great film, but Enter the Dragon was, it was clean. It was crisp. It was like a Hollywood production. But you must remember like the movies that I was accustomed to, it was just the forest of Hong Kong and people were just beating the crap out of each other, whatever the hell it is, you know what I mean? And so it was great. So that was, and so when I saw Enter the Dragon, I could tangibly see the shine.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
This is a much shinier product. Yeah. The mirror scene, I thought that was amazing. Yeah.
That's cool.
So I would say Enter the Dragon, because the other ones I didn't, it had a story. The other ones were kind of like the same. It's like your average Hollywood rom-com, your average Bollywood movie, all these stories are kind of like the same. And so it's the same with the Kung Fu movie. It's the same as the revenge. Then you're like, okay, cool, I get it. But Enter the Dragon just had a little thing to it, had a little polish to it that I really like.
Yeah, so, that's the money behind it.
Yeah.
What's the film that scared you the most? Do you like being scared? Do you get scared?
Yeah, this scared me the most. What was the one with the clown back in the day? Oh, man.
It.
I remember staying up late on a Saturday to watch It, and it freaked me the hell out.
Yeah.
Chucky.
Child's Play.
Yeah. Those two movies I remember as a child being extremely scary and being like extremely scared to like watch.
yeah. The original It is fucking scary. And Child's Play. I mean, they got similar faces, haven't they?
Yeah. I think I did watch the original It. That's the one that freaked me out. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like watching horror films now?
Nah, I think they're horrible. I don't like horror. I went to go see one recently. I forgot what it's called, but it's called A Silent Place. It's like when they make a noise.
Oh, A Quiet Place. Yeah.
A Quiet Place or something. I watched the second movie and I was so disappointed, and I was like, I was not invested in any of the people's survival.
Oh, wow. You were like, make some noise.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? If these people die, I don't care. If they live, I don't care.
Are you a crier? What's the film that made you cry the most?
Was this John Singleton movie called Higher Learning?
Yeah, I love that film.
It's when they shot Tyra Banks, and there's this character played by, oh, why do I keep forgetting this dude's name? Anyway, he shoots her, and then she's like there, and I was like, I think I was like, she was like the hottest thing at the time. I thought she was the hottest human, and I was this child, and then this guy just shoots her,
and you cried,
and then I was like, oh my god, yeah, that was the first time I kind of shed a tear for something that happened on screen, I think, in a movie.
That's a great film. We don't talk about it anymore. That should come up more.
Yeah.
Good film. What was the last film that made you cry?
I'm not a big crier. No. I'm definitely not going to cry at the cinema. It has to be like, it's just one of those. It's just, I don't know. I don't think I will.
You got to be on your own.
Yeah. Not necessarily. I don't know. I just suck it up and keep moving. That's my... I know it's unhealthy, but that's my vibe. I'm like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. Let's keep going.
No, I get that. I get that. I mean, yeah. I go to the cinema to cry, but I have to go on my own. There has to be no one else in the cinema. Has to be empty. I have to have emptied the cinema.
Right.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it.
What's the film that people don't like? It is not critically acclaimed, but you love it unconditionally and everyone else is dumb.
Guy Ritchie's first film?
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think you can have it. People like it though, but you can have it.
It's because I don't know the... So when you say critically acclaimed, because I'm not in the film world, I don't know what's reputable or not. It kind of I like that film. I like that film. So I don't know if it's critically acclaimed or not, you know? I just go, oh, that was Swordfish. I don't know.
Swordfish is a great answer. Yeah. I love Swordfish. Only problem with Swordfish opens with a really cool speech about how action movies work and how this film is like, and it sort of deconstructs them. And then in the end, it does exactly, it's just exactly an action film. And you go, you told us you were going to not do this. And then you did it. But it is cool, that film.
Mary and Malcolm and Mary.
Yes, that is a good answer.
Yeah, that's the most recent film where I was like, every time I mentioned it to people, they were like, oh, that thing was blah. And I was like, I thought it was a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I love dialogue a lot.
Me too. I love film where it's a couple just arguing for 2 hours. I'm all in.
Yeah. I love dialogue.
Yeah. Do you write scripts, fiction?
I should.
Yeah.
I should. I just commit my ideas to stand up more than anything. And I've been told I kind of take some of my ideas and put them in other spheres. And I go, I'm gonna take this to the stage.
That's fair. What is the film that you used to love? You loved it, but then you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh no, I don't like this anymore.
The Mask.
Really? Well, I love The Mask. What's The Mask done? What's wrong with The Mask now?
When I watched it again, I was like, how was I not aware as a kid there's so much sexual innuendo involved? It's highly sexual. And I'm like, God damn, this is crazy. How did I watch this as a child?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really? I think it came out 90...
I think that's 95, 96, 94, around then.
Yeah. Could be. I mean, I was 12.
It was very, I remember, listen, I was a child and it was very sexy. I remember it being very
sexy. So I thought like, okay. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would again. And but I did enjoy it. It wasn't horrendous, but it was like, I don't remember this thing like this.
I'm going to have to watch that tonight. Well, I mean, you've totally sold it as well. What's the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but because the experience you had around seeing the film will always make it special to you, Luisa Gola.
There's a film on Netflix, which is a Spanish film, called The Platform.
Fucking love that film. I think that film is fucking brilliant. Go on.
Yeah, I really loved it, man. I thought like... It was absurd in setting, but at the end of it, you kind of knew the point of it. And the point was clear and it opens up like a tunnel to many debates and understanding of the world. I thought that was a great film. Yeah. And it's absurd because it's a lot of dialogue. It's grimy. But at the end of it, you're like, oh, that's what it is. That's what's happening. Oh, well done. I'm out of here. Bye.
Yeah, well Take done. A Such a clever bit of writing, that film. Like every 5 minutes, there's a new idea or a new question. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really clever. So that's what I go with. That film really had me open.
And when did you watch that? Did you watch that during the pandemic, during like lockdown?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you alone in lockdown?
Yeah, I was alone the whole time, yeah.
Oh my God. Did you go mad?
Yeah, it was great. Oh. No, it was cool. I was cool. I mean, I'd go out, I'd jog and do all kinds of stuff, but I would come home and watch stuff. It was great, man. It was really great.
That's good. What's the film you most relate to, Luisa Gaya?
Most relate? Man, it's actually probably one of my favorite films. Probably Goodfellas.
I mean, Goodfellas is one of the greatest films of all time, sure. What about Goodfellas do you relate to?
I think the idea that, like, there are a group of guys mm-hmm. who don't necessarily abide by the law, and they have a world they kind of exist in, and they have specific rules to adhere by. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it's like when I look at people with cancel culture.
Yeah.
You know? And I'd go, oh, man, you know, like, some of the people where I grew up, a person would come, like, person you'd never met, you hear of them, they come back. Like, where was this person? Oh, this person's in jail. They did this or whatever the case is. But they're part of the community, you know? And the community was not like, obviously, they don't want them to fucking kill another human or do anything bad. But they're like, this person is equally a part of this little society that we're in. Mm. And we can't really look at them like, oh, they this other thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I appreciated that from that film. It was like, oh, no, these are complex human beings. And they've made a decision in their lives that kind of impacts all parts of their lives. But it was great to just see them as humans as well. And also just be like, to the average eye, the way they live their lives is very chaotic. But there's a hierarchy, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of rules.
Yeah. So there's a, like, for instance, when Joe Pesci's character gets killed. Mm-hmm. And then De Niro's narrating, he said, there's nothing we could do. It killed a made man. We just had to sit there and take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just rules, you know? He killed a made man. Those are the rules, you know? And and for me, it's like, sure, they don't live in this world that most of us in society, but they've created their own system and constitution that they govern themselves by. And if you really scrutinize them, they are as violent as the legitimate government.
I love that answer. I love that answer a lot.
Oh, yeah. Go. Well, thank you.
Listen, that's your best answer so far. What's the... and how does that relate to cancel culture? Do you mean in terms of like people being sort of shunned, but we're all still part of the human race? Is that
they don't consider that this person exists in the society.
Yeah.
This kind of person exists in the society. So they don't go, this person is part of us. We have to live and deal with them. They go, let's cancel them so that they don't exist.
We don't have to see them.
Yeah, you see what I mean? And I'm like, that's a very bizarre way of sort of dealing with this thing.
Fascinating. Luisa Gaya, what's the sexiest film you've ever seen other than The Mask?
Probably Swordfish. I think Swordfish was cool.
Yeah.
Because of the Halle Berry scene.
Yes.
And yeah, I thought like,
Swordfish is an unusual thing in terms of like the way the world was that it was like part of the selling of the film, like part of the kind of advertising of it was something like, we've paid Halle Berry an extra million to show you her boobs. And that was kind of like in the
promotion material.
Selling them. Yeah, it was like, this is it. I don't know if that would happen anymore. It's kind of odd.
Oh, no, it probably would.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it would. I think there's room for it. It's just, it's been done.
Yeah.
You'd be using the same trick twice.
There's a subcategory to this question. And the subcategory is troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. A film you found arousing that you weren't sure you should. Of.
I don't know. I don't genuinely get aroused at the cinema. But I don't generally get aroused by things that I'm probably the most sexually contained human.
Please elaborate.
I'm predictable in that sense. Like a heterosexual human would, if you tick the things that they would tell them, that would be it. And so that's why I always I'm highly lucky in the sense that I don't have to explain myself a lot in terms of what I'm attracted to. Whereas a lot of people have to explain, oh no, I'm into toes. Oh no, I'm into like the genetic boring stuff. So yeah. The question that you pose kind of taps into a spectrum of sexuality that exists somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And for me, to a certain extent, I'm kind of boringly fit into the
nothing has caught you by surprise.
Yeah, boobs, breasts, you know, I'm just like, and if I get a boner in the middle, it's not because of the thing that's in front of me. It's something that I'm thinking about, of, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily what's in front of me. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's...
So it could be something in front of you. You get a boner, but it's because you're still thinking about Halle Berry.
Boom. I'm a hetero, boring, normal, whatever the pronoun is.
I get it. Tell me this. Objectively, what is the greatest film of all time? Might not be your favorite, but objectively, it's the best film.
That's a highly academic question in the sense that, in the beginning of it, I did make a disclaimer.
Yes.
That I'm not I would have to explain it.
You made a big disclaimer.
Yeah, I would have to.
You practically said you don't watch films.
Yeah, but it turns out I do watch films. But I don't have the academic increment to sort of articulate the points. So I'm going to probably, my favorite film is probably Goodfellas. And then the film, which is objectively one of the greatest. Oh, this is so predictable. It's The Matrix.
That's not predictable. I thought you were going to say The Godfather. Everyone always says The Godfather. So that wasn't predictable at all. Great answer.
Yeah, I would say The Matrix. It's really...
I can see that.
It has all the things to make a movie, like a good one.
Yeah.
And it pulls everything off. Great story, great
it's
acting.
Philosophical.
It does all the... Objectively, that's a good film.
Redefined filmmaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good answer. I can go with that.
You can live with that? As I was writing that down, I was like, am I predictable?
Not at all. Everyone always says The Godfather. Matrix is a much more interesting answer because there's so much going on in The Matrix. And it did change, you know, the filmmaking techniques used and the fact that it deals with religion and philosophy and all sorts. It's a fucking great answer. Congratulations. That's your second best answer.
That was a question I was most frightened about.
Stressed about.
I was like, man.
You're all right. You done good.
Yeah.
You can relax now. What's the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
Goodfellas.
Yes, me too.
I watch it maybe twice a month.
I mean, I've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but you could watch it every day.
I find different things to like about the film every time. One of my favorite things, it's the one when he's narrating, Hendry Hill is talking, and he's like, he's introducing everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, that's Paulie. And Paulie comes out, everyone's making a racket outside.
Yeah.
And it's a shot of Paulie with his face kind of frowning. And then he's moving he's like, that's Paulie. He moves slow. He only moves slow because you didn't have to move for nobody. I was like, what? And that's that's sort of kind of like a good intro. What a good economy of words.
Yeah, it tells you everything you need to know.
He's not saying he's the boss. You find out later that he's the main guy, sort of in that. But he's like, hey, that's Paulie. He moves slow. He moves slow because he didn't have to move for anybody. I was like, oh.
Really, really good accent as well.
Oh, thank you. I watch a lot of gangster movies.
Yeah, that's fucking great. Okay, good answer. We don't like to be negative, Louisa Geiler. So we'll do it fairly quick. What's the worst film you ever saw?
That was the only question I was going to refuse to answer.
I respect that.
Because I realized I've kind of entered the world where I could audition for these people. Yeah. And I know I won't tell you who, but a couple of weeks ago, I auditioned for an Oscar-winning director.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
It's extremely exciting. So when I...
But that did that same person make your worst film?
No. But I'm saying I'm in that world. If a person... Because if they want you for a part, they'll look at the stuff that you said. Now you've said that the film is the worst film. Now you've just closed down. Mm. You've unnecessarily shut your way out of a...
How did the audition go? Have you got the part? Tell us everything.
I didn't get the part. I can't really talk about it because the movie's not being made. It's still being made. I didn't get the part, but the movie's made. I can't tell you who the director is. I know he's got an Oscar.
That's cool.
Best picture.
Best picture, worst film. What? Okay. You know what? I respect it. I respect it. I can't force you to do that. What's the film that made you laugh the most?
Snatch.
Yeah?
Yeah, between Snatch and The Big Lebowski.
Oh, nice.
The Big Lebowski was so subtle and so... It wasn't looking for the laughs.
Yeah.
It's just kind of... But it's written in such a funny way that this cat... When he pulls out a gun in the bowling alley and everyone's like, what the fuck? We didn't even know you had a gun. He's like, bro... He's just like, what the fuck? And it's such a funny scene where he just pulls out the gun and everyone's like, my brother, we had no idea you even had a gun. You think that guy is shocked? We're shocked as well. And you're like, yo, man, it's just a rug. Take it easy, you know? And then Snatch for me was, it's not obviously funny. Mm. It's like, I don't know if you remember the scene where they're looking for Freddy Four Fingers.
Yeah, go on.
And then he's walking into the pawn shop with the briefcase, and then the four guys are outside and they're waiting for him, and then the one guy, as he walks out the van, he goes, did he have four fingers? And then the one says, oh, sorry, couldn't get me binoculars on time. And then Teddy was like, this is such a bizarre, you know.
Yeah.
Such a bizarre thing that's happening. You know, they're on this big mission, but they're bumbling all the way. And as they're bumbling, it's, you know what I mean? It's funny. Even like just the brick top, he's got them tied up, and then he does this monologue.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you know what the meaning of Nemesis is? A righteous retribution of pain. Manifested by an appropriate agent. Personified in this particular case by an orrid cunt, me. And I go, yeah, but who the fuck says that? You know, it's such, who does a poem before killing? Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's great.
And it's just funny. It was, yeah.
I love that The Big Lebowski is scripted as is. I liked reading that Jeff Bridges, like, yeah, all the all the ers were literally scripted. Like, there's no improvising going on in Big Lebowski. They're all...
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. Yeah, they're all saying exactly what was written. I find that interesting.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Luisa Geiler, you have been brilliant. Despite thinking you couldn't do this, you've done very, very well. Now, however, when you were on the London Underground and you were waiting for a train, and a drunk guy, totally random, didn't know you, wasn't targeted you, but he was like, you know, I'll push someone in front of the train. Pushed you. As you hit the ground, the train hit you. It was very gruesome. It was instant. But I'm walking around the tube. I've got a coffin with me. You know what I'm like. I'm looking for you. I'm like, where's Luisa? I was going to go see him at Top Secret, but he wasn't there. Anyway, I get down to the tube platform. It's a fucking mess. You are all over the place. You're on the ceiling. You're on the walls. I'm having to pop down, keep having to jump out every time a train goes past. Pop down. I'm collecting all the bits of you I can. There's more of you than I was expecting. It's a fucking mess. I stuff you in the coffin. You're all in there, but it's rammed. There's no room in this coffin. There's literally just enough for me to slip a DVD into the side of the coffin for you to take to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. And one night, it's your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone in heaven when it is your movie night? Luisa Geiler, go.
Oh, my God. Probably Goodfellas. Probably The Matrix.
Lovely. You can take The Matrix. It'll blow people's minds. It holds up.
Yeah, I think it's the only movie that doesn't have a timeline per se.
You can have that.
The ideas are timeless.
Yeah.
And also just the idea of being in another world, another life, in another dimension could be a good way. The themes are relevant.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this. Is there anything you would like to tell people to look out for? You're in London at the moment doing gigs. Is there anything else we should know about?
Oh, I'm on tour. I start my tour on Thursday, Coventry. So people must go to loisogola.com for tickets. I am all over the UK. So go to loisogola.com. Go to my Instagram, loisogola, LOYISOGOLA. That's my Instagram. And that's also my Twitter. And yeah, loisogola.com, and find out where I'm playing next. My tour ends on the 31st of October in Leicester Square, London.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, thank you for doing this, my man. I appreciate you, and have a lovely death. Take care. See you later.
Death. All right, cool.
So that was episode 166. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 15 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Luiso. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and write about the film that means the most to you and why. I don't want to hear about the show. I want to hear about your film you love. Do you know what I mean? It's nice to read, isn't it? Other people can read it too. It's a community thing. Go on. Thank you so much to Luiso for doing the show. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Latham for the photography. Come and join me next week. Oh, I've got a fucking great guest next week. Oh, my God. I ain't even going to tell you because you're going to love it. And the suspense. If I had told you, I don't think you'd be able to wait. So you just have to see, won't you? Anyway, I hope everyone is well. Thank you very much for listening. And love to you all. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely week, and please be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.